Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up.
Let's kick off with the Road to Russia 2018 and the qualifying matches for football's premier event. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump might be trying to improve ties with Vladimir Putin, but make no mistake, VOA football fans, the USA faces a rocky and difficult road to Russia after a humiliating 4-0 loss in Costa Rica. Johan Venegas, who plays for the Montreal Impact in Major League Soccer, made an impact in the 43rd minute in San Jose when he snapped in a header for Costa Rica's first goal. Another MLS player, Christian Bolaños of the Vancouver Whitecaps, scored in the 69th minute for the Ticos of Costa Rica. And substitute Joel Campbell wrapped up the scoring with goals in the 74th and 77th minutes. It's the second setback in 5 days for the Americans and their worst loss in a World Cup qualifier since 1980. The United States has appeared in every World Cup since 1990, but the USA is now in last place in their 16 final round qualifying group. The USA's head coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, described the loss as a bitter pill to swallow and said the defeat hurts the most in his 5 years in charge of the U.S. men's national soccer team. Now there are questions about whether Klinsmann will stay in charge. It will be 4 months until the USA's next World Cup qualifier. And some U.S. soccer followers say this might be the right time to make a coaching change. U.S. soccer president Sunil Gulati says, and I quote, "We won't make any decisions right after games. We'll think about what happened and talk with Jurgen and look at the situation." Well, the situation does not look good right now for the USA. The Americans are at the bottom of their qualifying group with Trinidad and Tobago. Each has no points after two matches. Costa Rica, a 2014 World Cup quarterfinalist, tops the group with the maximum 6 points, followed by Mexico and Panama with 4 points each, and Honduras with 3 points. There are 8 qualifiers remaining for these teams. The top 3 teams will book tickets to Russia 2018, and the 4th-place team will go to a 2-leg playoff against an Asian side. In other CONCACAF World Cup qualifying results Tuesday, Honduras scored a 3-1 home victory over Trinidad and Tobago, and Mexico and host Panama played to a goalless draw. In other World Cup qualifying results, 2-time world champion Argentina, a finalist in the 2014 tournament in Brazil, got back on track with a 3-0 victory over visiting Colombia. Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi was Argentina's hero yet again, scoring off a sensational free kick and setting up the 2 other goals in San Juan. 5-time World Cup champion Brazil traveled to Lima and beat host Peru 2-0 on second-half goals by Gabriel Jesus and Renato Augusto. The Brazilians are on top of their table and 4 points clear of Uruguay, which lost on the road to Chile 3-1. In 2 more results from South America, host Bolivia edged Paraguay 1-0, and Ecuador defeated visiting Venezuela 3-0. Turning to Asia, China and visiting Qatar played to a scoreless draw. Host Japan scored a 2-1 victory over Saudi Arabia. Thailand and Australia played to a 2-all draw in Bangkok. The United Arab Emirates defeated Iraq 2-0 in Abu Dhabi. South Korea topped Uzbekistan 2-1 in Seoul. Syria and Iran played to a scoreless draw at a neutral venue in Malaysia. And in a result from the Oceania region, New Caledonia and New Zealand played to a scoreless draw. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a big and spicy package of African cricket and African football news is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin with results of the international friendlies played on Tuesday involving African national teams. Kenya's Harambee Stars continue to impress in their international friendlies as they edged Liberia 1-0 at the Kasarani Stadium in Nairobi. The hosts came into the game on the back of another impressive 1-0 win over Mozambique at the same venue, with coach Stanley Okumbi making four changes in the lineup.
We must make sure that we score as many goals as possible because we are creating so many chances and not converting them. So I think we need to convert the chances that we are getting and push it more.
Liberian coach James Deba was critical of the officiating, which he termed as bad and unfortunate.
I had serious problem with the officiating of the game. The referee were bad. You know, the goal, we saw the replay was offside. It was offside. And you cannot build a team like that. Is Kenya want to progress? You got to be fair, because there's a test for your team. You play against a third team. This is our third team. Not the first, not the second, but the third. These are young boys we brought to try them. And you can't even win. The official thing was bad, man. I'm not impressed. Seriously. African football is critical.
In Maputo, Mozambique held South Africa to a 1-1 draw. Bafana Bafana fighting back from a goal down to retain their unbeaten record against the Mambas. Elsewhere, Euro 2016 runners-up France, with a largely revamped side, were held to a 0-0 draw by African champions Ivory Coast in a match that lacked the kind of excitement you will expect from both sides. In other results, it was a string of draws as Gabon and Comoros settled for a 1-1 scoreline, same as Tunisia and Mauritania, who played a 0-0 draw. Morocco defeated Togo 2-1. On ahead of the 10th Women's African Cup of Nations, Cameroon 2016, Super Falcons coach Florence Omagbemi says the Nigerian senior women national team are ready to defend their African Women Cup of Nations title as they leave for Cameroon on Wednesday. The team will open their campaign against Mali on November the 20th, and Omagbemi is confident the girls will put up a good performance against the fellow West Africans and also qualify from the group.
As a champion and a defending champion, any situation you find yourself, you want to make use of it very well. So I would say we will try to do our best with where we are right now and not to make sure we don't let Nigeria down when we go to Cameroon.
Osinachi Ohale is a Super Falcons vice captain, and she's confident they'll put up a good showing in Cameroon.
We are very, very in good shape and in good position. We are very, very positive, and then we responded well to our training sessions. So we have no worries.
Nigeria have won the championship a record 7 times since the inception in 1998. And Bayana Bayana arrived Cameroon on Tuesday to participate in the Women's African Cup of Nations. Bayana is in Group A with host Cameroon, Egypt and neighbors Zimbabwe. They will play their first match against Zimbabwe at the Stade Yaoundé on Saturday. Interim head coach Desiree Ellis is adamant her players are ready for the showpiece.
As we get closer to the first game, we'll concentrate on the analysis of Zimbabwe and see how we can outsmart them, because obviously they've also seen us play the same with Egypt. But before we even get to that, we then have to concentrate on Cameroon. But we'll take it game by game.
Bayana are four-time runners-up and find themselves in Group A with host Cameroon, Egypt and neighbors Zimbabwe. Team captain Janine Van Wyk says the matches against these opponents will be a completely new game, and past results mean nothing when they meet.
You know, any team that goes there wants to be African champions, and I think personally for me, I would want a gold medal. I have a bronze, I have a silver, but I'm missing that gold medal, and it's really what I want to achieve before I retire.
To cricket news now, where replacement paceman Kyle Abbott took 677 as South Africa completed an earnings and 80-run humiliation of Australia in Hobart on Tuesday to seal the three-match series with a game to spare. South African captain Faf du Plessis lauded his relentless bowlers for their match-winning performance against Australia in Hobart on Tuesday and dedicated the series win to absent Proteas Del Steyn and AB de Villiers.
Yesterday our bowling was exceptional. The last hour and a half of bowling, we were just so good in our areas and relentless, and we didn't get the results we wanted, but we knew today if we came back, it will change for us. Obviously not that quickly. To get 8 wickets for 40 runs plus minus is one of those sessions that we will always remember as a team that won us a series and was unbelievable. So yeah, that ranks up right at the top. Obviously to do it in the one day is against Australia and beat them 5-0. But I think to come here to Australia, we as a team know that coming here is an extremely hard challenge to come to Australia and beat a really good team. They've got a full-strength team, full of, no, there's no injuries there. So to come here and do what we've done.
South Africa have now won their last three series in Australia following victories under Graeme Smith in 2008 and 2012. The Australian captain, Steve Smith, says he's hurting after another heavy defeat from South Africa where the home side collapsed again.
You know, it's another disappointing performance to lose 8 for 30 again today. Another big collapse. It's happening way too often. We've got to start finding a way to turn things around. You know, whether the ball's seaming or spinning or swinging, we don't have an answer at the moment. We're not resilient enough. We're not digging in enough. We're not having the pride in our wicket, and it's tough. And, you know, the South African bowlers, when there's something in the wicket, Philander, Abbott and Rabada, they're world class. You know, we only have to look at this morning. I don't think I scored for the first 11 overs of the game. Better. Yeah, I'm embarrassed to be sitting here, to be honest with you. Too many times we've lost wickets in clumps. You know, 8 for 30 today, 10 for 85 in the first innings, and you're not winning any games of cricket when you're doing that.
That's Steve Smith, the captain of Australia's national cricket team, and he was speaking in Hobart. And thanks to reporter Samson Omale in Abuja for that big, spicy package of African cricket and African football news. Samson mentioned the African Women's Cup of Nations football tournament, which kicks off Saturday in Cameroon. Fans may have trouble getting to the matches if bus drivers continue a strike that has halted traffic in the capital, Yaoundé. The drivers are pledging to disrupt the football tournament if they're not paid back salary. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Thousands of cars were stuck early Wednesday on the streets of Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. One of the drivers was Atangana Anslem, a father of five, attempting to drop off his kids at school. The civil servant says the traffic congestion is unprecedented. He says he has been on this spot with his family for over 1 hour 45 minutes and there are no signs traffic will start moving soon. He says such acts affects Cameroon's economy and gives the country a bad image and reputation. He says he does not think his children will be able to go to school soon, as the situation is disturbing. Businessman Fuda Anatol parked his car on the side of the road and decided to walk. He says he wants the government to know that he took 1 hour 30 minutes to cover a distance of barely half a kilometer and that he, like other poor people, is suffering. The congestion was caused by workers of the urban transport company Lebus. They parked their buses on major junctions and went hiding for a greater portion of the morning. The trade union leader, Amugu Ondua, says they are owed 20 months of salaries and other social benefits. He says they will not transport people during the Africa Women's Football Cup of Nations that begins on Saturday and will stop others from working if their money is not paid.
Le PM a écrit une lettre, il a donné des instructions au ministère des Finances.
He says after a crisis meeting on Tuesday, they were informed that Cameroon's Prime Minister had ordered the Minister of Finance to pay their salary arrears for 20 months and other social dues, but that a representative of the Minister of Finance said he could not pay the money because their company owed taxes and custom duties. He says they will interrupt the Africa Women's Cup of Nations tournament in Yaoundé if all of their dues are not paid. 45 of the 125 bus drivers were arrested. Public authorities in Yaoundé refused to comment, but state media said they were convening a crisis meeting. In May, workers abandoned work after a tunnel at the main stadium for the tournament collapsed, leaving two people dead and several others injured. The incident occurred after Cameroon's Prime Minister forced builders to speed up construction work amid concerns that Cameroon might not be ready for the COP. Despite the challenges, the president of the Confederation of African Football, Issa Ayatou, says Cameroon is set for the games.
Ça ne peut qu'être un bon événement, c'est-à-dire les infrastructures sportives.
He says it is going to be a beautiful event, judging from the sports infrastructure and the many people watching the matches, and that all will be crowned with the high level of participating teams. He says the government of Cameroon has done everything it takes to develop infrastructure and make the country ready for the continental event. Originally scheduled from October 8 to 22, Cameroon asked for the tournament to be postponed to November 19 to December 3 due to weather conditions. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Voice of America, VOA.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, we'll start with something that's trending in the social media world generally. And if you have any social media accounts and have been on the internet at all in the past, I don't know, week and a half, then you've probably seen the mannequin challenge. And we've talked about it briefly on the show, but what it is you get a bunch of people together, you stand and you pose frozen, and somebody comes through the camera and moves the camera around to capture everybody and moves it quickly enough that it appears, you know, it doesn't pick up the subtle movements or anything. It looks like everybody's a mannequin. And the idea for this mannequin challenge is that it's not just one person that's doing it. You have to have a whole group of people to do this. So what better groups to do this than sports teams? And in fact, we see a number of sports teams and sports groups who have jumped on this mannequin challenge and started to do this. One video I saw today that's getting a lot of buzz on social media is the European Tour golfers did a 2-minute long mannequin challenge with all of the different golfers on the tour, all the different staff. And it is extensive in how they do it. I don't know if you remember the movie a couple years ago that won the Oscar for Best Picture, Birdman, and how they did these long, you know, 20-minute long tracking shots. Well, this was only 2 minutes, but it is an entire uninterrupted shot from the clubhouse, through the clubhouse, down the steps, out to the course, past the fans. So you get the whole scope of from clubhouse to course with this mannequin challenge. So a lot of people very impressed with that. And then when we reported on our VOA Now Facebook page at the Timber Sports World Championship in Germany, this is men who have axes and chainsaws, and women who have chainsaws and axes and chop up wood in varying competitions. They did a mannequin challenge with more than 5,000 participants. They had the whole audience participating. All these guys and women with chainsaws and axes and what have you, frozen in place. So a lot of strength. If you have the axe over your head, you've got to hold it there. And it may be the largest mannequin challenge yet. So we see that when we see the Kansas University men's basketball team. They had a huge win yesterday over Duke, but prior to that, they did a mannequin challenge of their own. See a lot of college teams starting to do this. So it's become quite the trend among sports teams around the world.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. There was a film that came out last year called Straight Outta Compton. Straight Outta Compton. It was a film depicting the career of the rap group NWA. Well, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see three athletes who are straight out of Compton. The Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, who recently returned to Compton, California, for the dedication of some courts that they used to play on. And another guy straight out of Compton, DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. You'll see a photo of DeRozan. He is currently leading the NBA in scoring right now. Straight out of Compton, Andrew.
Straight out of Compton.
What else is trending in the sports world?
Well, another one of these mannequin challenges was Jamie Vardy in England, the English national men's football team. They went up 2-1. In a friendly, and they did an impromptu mannequin challenge, he and a couple teammates on the field. If you watch the U.S. men's national football team play, you may have thought they were doing a mannequin challenge, but unfortunately they were not. They were just frozen on the field and didn't play very well. In fact, they lost in that match against Costa Rica, and fans are letting them have it, saying it's embarrassing, saying, you know what, we should just let this sink in that the men's national team isn't doing very well. Even calls on social media to fire coach Jurgen Klinsmann. So a lot of consternation and worry among fans about this team. And of course, we got to work in the crying Jordan meme. Somebody took Michael Jordan's crying face and overlaid an American flag over that. So I think that's the sentiment of a lot of soccer fans here in the U.S. after the play of the men's team.
I mentioned earlier, Andrew, that the USA doesn't play their next World Cup qualifier for 4 months. So the timing is right, maybe, for a coaching change. I imagine Klinsmann is a little uneasy right now.
I would be if I were him, and I think that's why we're seeing a lot of people just saying, let this sink in. You know, over the next 4 months, remember these losses and use them to improve so that when you come back in the next 4 months for that next qualifying match, you're playing better and you've moved past that.
Andrew, what else is trending in the football world?
Well, we go from the U.S. men's national team, not so great, to perhaps one of the greatest ever, Lionel Messi, scoring 7 goals in Argentina's last 7 games. It's an amazing free kick, which the video of that is going around social media in the 3-0 win over Colombia. But, you know, we talked about the mannequin challenge being a way for teams to bond. Well, Lionel Messi has found a different way for his team to bond. After that 3-0 win, he and his entire team went out to the press conference and announced to the press they're boycotting the press. This apparently has resulted from the coverage, press coverage of one of the players on the team allegedly revealed that he was using illegal drugs in his personal time. And the teammates basically said, you know what, our personal lives are our personal lives. What we do on the field is what we do on the field. Don't cover what we do in our personal lives. And so he said, we've received many accusations, a lot of lack of respect, and we never said anything. We're very sorry it has to be like this, but we have no option. We know there are lots of you who are not in the game of not showing us respect, but getting into one's personal life is very grave, and that's why we're here to do this and make this announcement. So standing up for his team, again, maybe not as fun as the mannequin challenge, but definitely taking a stand as a leader of that team, and a lot of the fans saying, you know what, good for them. They should be able to live their personal lives and not be under a microscope 24/7 by the press. And especially, you know, if they're doing things that are, you know, unsavory, it shouldn't be press fodder. So getting a lot of support from fans for this bold decision from the team.
So mum's the word for
mum's
Leo
the word.
Messi?
We'll see how long it lasts, but mum's the word for now.
Thanks, Andrew. That's Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. And we'll see you again on Thursday, Andrew.
All right, see you then.
And that wraps up the November 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Undersecretary of State for Civilian Security, Democracy, and Human Rights Sarah Sewell visited Chad recently. The visit focused on stabilization challenges resulting from the campaign against Boko Haram, in addition to the humanitarian needs of the refugees that Boko Haram attacks have generated, and strategies for addressing violent extremism more broadly. In N'Djamena, the undersecretary met with UN officials and urban refugees to learn about the humanitarian situation in Chad and to explore opportunities for additional support beyond the $106 million in humanitarian assistance the U.S. provided Chad in 2016. In meetings with President Idriss Deby and other government officials, the undersecretary praised the country's leadership in hosting over 300,000 refugees from its various neighbors and for participating in the multinational joint task force against Boko Haram. She also underscored how civilian security and respect for human rights are vital to reinforcing military gains against the terrorist group. She applauded efforts of local governments in the Lac region to de-radicalize and reintegrate Boko Haram defectors, which underscore the need for a credible path to leave from the battlefield. The undersecretary met with staff at Radio Al-Quran and imams from the High Islamic Council, which use positive messages to strengthen the resilience of communities across Chad to counter the lure of violent extremism. The United States is committed to working with its partner, Chad, to help protect the people of Chad and the men, women, and children refugees it humanely shelters from the continuing threat of violent extremists.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll examine Beyond the Storm, treating the powerless and the powerful in Mobutu's Congo Zaire, a book written by Dr. William Close and Dr. Matudila Malonga, a Congolese physician who co-discovered Ebola in 1976. We'll also discuss the latest developments in the Democratic Republic of Congo on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
Nato C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1500 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.